Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, have you had a near-death experience, an NDE? Well, a lot of people have. And a lot of people are starting to talk about them. And not everybody believes them. It's kind of strange to have a near-death experience. And maybe it takes people who have more credibility to talk about them, at least public credibility. If you hear from them, maybe you think, oh, there's something to this. So what if actually a surgeon had a near-death experience and comes back to talk about it? Maybe we have to listen a little harder because they've even heard it before from their patients and have had other reactions that perhaps a lot of people have. It's like, wait a minute, this sounds too strange. So we're going to be talking with a guest who wrote a book called Dying to Wake Up. I love this book because it really explains the whole story of NDEs and in the world and how we're relating to them, by a man who actually had one himself, a medical doctor, a surgeon, nonetheless, who, in his own surgery, while he was on the table, had his own NDE, and now has written a book about it, and it's quite amazing, and it's wonderful to talk about it. I'm so excited to have him as a guest, Dr. Rajiv Party. Rajiv, welcome to the show.
It's my honor to be here, sir.
I'm so glad that you wrote this book because I can't wait to give it to one of my sons.
Oh, yeah.
I just finished it and told him he's next because I think you bring a story that really a lot of people have to listen to, right?
Yeah. You know, and more than the story, I think important is the message of transformation. You know, like I did.
Well, that's part of the story is how it transformed
exactly.
You.
Yeah.
And you were really a hardened materialistic doctor, right?
Oh, yeah. I still remember driving my Hummer, you know, and living in the.
Yeah, you were wealthy and you were driving your family, your son, your older son, he had to become a doctor and. You know, it was important that everybody win in materially in this world and succeed in ways that you were very unhappy yourself. You were actually living, even though you were materially successful and as a surgeon, very successful, you were really a very unhappy person physically and emotionally.
Yeah,
right?
You know. Mm-hmm. That's true. I just want to correct one thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was a cardiac anesthesiologist, not a surgeon. But we both
oh,
worked
okay,
together
sorry.
In the operating room.
Yeah. You were at the surgery.
At the surgery, yeah.
Right.
There's just a technicality.
Right, exactly. So, and you had already heard from patients who had NDEs while you were working in the hospital and didn't give them much of the time of day, right?
Oh, yeah. I thought this guy, the case I am talking about in the book, the frozen man, I thought he had no blood going through his brain for 45 minutes because we had, you know, that's a special kind of surgery coming off on aorta, the main vessel coming off the heart, and we could not put him on a bypass pump for that portion. We had frozen him, and so there was no blood going and there was no activity in the brain or heart, and I thought he suffered some neurological damage or he's hallucinating. So I gave him actually antipsychotic medicine shot, Haldol. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So after it happened to you, you weren't so ready to receive injections.
Yeah. Thank God.
So
my doctor
you were on
gave
the
me
table.
The antipsychotic shot, yeah.
Right. You were on the table, and all of a sudden, you were out of your body.
Yep.
So, what happened? Let's go through. Let's talk about what happened. You were all of a sudden looking down at the surgery on you.
Yeah, for emergency surgery. Yeah.
Uh huh. And so that must have been a curiosity right off that you were.
Oh, right off. First reaction was, am I hallucinating or did the anesthesiologist mix up the drugs? Because in being an anesthesiologist myself, there is a drug called ketamine, which we do not use in adults usually. Rarely we use in children for burn dressing change, and it gives a dissociative, it is called a dissociative anesthetic, that it dissociates body from mind and gives an out-of-body experience. It's basically a veterinary anesthetic. And I checked the record, that was not used.
So what happened next? You were looking down at this operation on you.
Yeah, I was looking down and I heard the anesthesiologist tell a joke. I can't repeat it. I remember it because it was a dirty joke. And me being an anesthesiologist, I know part of my job was to keep the room atmosphere light, tell a joke here and there. And then my consciousness left. I could see myself being cut open. I could hear the surgeons. I could even smell. All senses were intact, actually acute. And from there, my essence or consciousness, whatever you want to call it, because it's beyond time and space, went to different realms. And one was the realm, which was very scary.
Sure. You hadn't been there in a while. At least.
I hope you don't ever go there. But if you find yourself there, from my experience, there is a way out. Like it was hellish realm, beginning of the hellish realm. I could hear, a lot of wailing and crying.
Oh, you're talking about when you were really at the brink of hell.
Yeah.
So you were out there, and this is normally that people think of you being out there must be in heaven, and all of a sudden you were standing, what seemed like on the edge of what would be hell, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And that's something to talk about anyway, because what does that mean? Is it really something that happens to people, or is it something that is shown to us as a thought form out there that is to, give us thought?
I'll give you a pause to change your ways.
Exactly. But it doesn't mean that the people who were suffering were really suffering in that form that you were being shown. It could have been something that was created for your education. Because out in those realms, I know from speaking with many people who are astral travelers and have NDEs that there's a lot of environments out there that are created through thought forms that are there to teach us things. And this could have been one of them.
My being there, started my transformation.
Right. Right. Also, the man who helped you get out of there was part of that transformation for you.
A big part of transformation and forgiveness and generational abuse.
Right, and we're speaking about your father.
Yeah, who died 30 years ago, yeah.
Right, and he had been really tough on you.
Very tough. I still remember I lost a Parker pen his brother had brought from America when I was 9 or 10 years old. And the beating I got for just losing a pen was so bad.
Yeah, so this is a man who you really didn't have wonderful feelings about, who you met out there while you were standing on the brink of hell.
Yeah.
And he pulled you back, right?
Yeah. then I realized he did love me, but he could not show me properly because of his own limitations.
Right. So, and then you saw his childhood, and you understood, because out there, you can move through time, and or at least see through time. You have virtual experiences out there.
Yeah, the time is not linear. You can go backwards, yeah.
Right. So you could see his childhood and understand why he was the way he was. And why you were also, at that point, not being very, soft, let's say, on your own children, especially your older son.
Yep.
And yeah. So this was an opportunity for you to really build compassion and have forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness, but even more than that.
Forgiveness is a big thing for me, yeah.
Yes. But even more than that, you had an experience with a being of light.
Yeah.
Who wasn't really a person as we know people, male or female, for instance.
Yeah. No, and before the being, I was born and raised in a Hindu environment, though I'm not a practicing, I was not a practicing Hindu. And before the being, I met the Christian angels, you know.
That's wonderful. There are a lot of angels out there.
they're not
so religious.
Yeah, Michael and Raphael, you know.
Yeah, they're not religious.
Mm-hmm.
It's only religions that have tried to pin them down to their own possession. and these angels are there for all of us.
Yeah, exactly. And my favorite angel nowadays is Angel Gabriel.
That's wonderful.
Because he or she is making these interviews, this book, and everything possible. I like to call her she. She's the angel for communication, speaking, and writing.
That's wonderful. That's great. Since you've been out there and have had direct contact with them, let's call it in the flesh.
Yeah.
It's easy for you to work with them in a more common way because you have a direct experience.
Yeah, now it opened up a channel for me. I converse with my dad, especially in dreams now, with angels and other higher beings. Yeah.
That's amazing.
So, main thing I tell, that you don't have to have a near-death experience to transform. Transformation is available to each one of us right now through the practice of prayer, service, and meditation.
But I also think it's education. I think that somebody like you...
Yeah, you only do these things after you have educated, yeah.
Yeah, you're out there educating people to think differently.
Yeah.
And to actually change their lifestyles.
Yeah. Everything in moderation, I used to drive a Hummer and a sports Mercedes. Now I drive, Toyota Camry, hybrid. So as a kid with my friends, my life went from Hummer to hybrid, but I still have a decent car,
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, you're living, you still have to, we all have to live in the material world. We have to earn a living, we have to pay our rent, and...
Kids have to go to college, my three kids are in college, yeah.
Right, sure. And so it's really important to be here, but be there also, to be in two places, to live in this material world as spiritually as possible.
Yeah.
And we're all different.
Yeah, example I got in the presence of the light being, and I feel it is so true, like we are waves in the ocean. Each wave is different from each other, but it's, at the same time, it is still the same water.
Right. I like to call it our unique spark of God.
Yeah, exactly, sir. Exactly. We are in the same line.
Right. And but it's so fascinating to me. I work with a lot of divining tools using things like astrology, numerology, the human design system, destiny cards, to understand the mechanics of how we're each here to be in this world and what we can embrace and how we can hold it consciously. And so not everybody is drawn to listen to us.
Yeah.
And talk about and hear about this and take on a spiritual practice.
Yeah. I won't have before many years experience. Yeah.
Well, it doesn't mean that they're not living the spiritual life. They just don't know it. They're living it materially, but it's still they are a spirit. And what you've done, you've found that you were living that way, a very dense life here.
Yeah.
And then you found your spirit. You had to hop out of your body to do it, but that worked.
Yeah, it worked. Transformed me.
Yeah. And so it's wonderful because you're a medical doctor, and so therefore you're interested in helping people. Not all medical doctors are, but you have taken it to a level now of spiritual work. You've given up your practice as an anesthesiologist, as you were asked to by the Being of Light, right? Or was it someone else out there who's
Being of Light? Yeah.
Yeah.
I was shown what my future will be.
That's very helpful.
Yeah. Then I'll be writing books and talking to millions of people, helping them change their, evolve consciously. And, you know, that was the last thing in my mind in this world. For me, I was chief of anesthesia, made very good money. Life was perfect.
Well, except that it was killing you.
Yeah, you know, like, the house was owning me rather than me owning the house.
Well,
I had a $15,000 a month mortgage, yeah.
Wow. But also you had a reliance on drugs.
Yeah, alcohol.
And alcohol, and you were depressed. Probably, you know, it all adds up. It just, you know, drugs can only make you worse.
Yeah.
And you were in a lot of pain.
Yeah.
You had a number of operations.
Yeah.
And then when you came back from this, somehow, how did that all go away?
You know, that's the whole thing, you know, like everything, you know, my craving for the pain medications went away. Depression gradually got better because, you know, one of the thing is, if one is on your purpose, you find your calling, then as they say, if you love what you where you work, then you are not working a single day. You know, you have a purpose, you have a mission, not just a job.
But I think it's extremely inspiring to have this spiritual journey that you were on out of your body, because you have a direct experience of multidimensionality, and so you relate to life totally differently once you've been out there.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that song that after World War I, how are you going to keep them down on the farm after they've seen Paris?
Yeah.
So you can never go back again. Once you realize what life truly is about, actually being with your father again, who had been dead for so long, what an experience that is about life.
Yeah, you know, like when I have a very important interview or something, or I have to have his blessings, I wear his old shirt. You know, I feel
yeah,
his
well,
presence.
Just to know that. I mean, I'm an intuitive myself, and my father passed away 56 years ago, and yet 2 years ago he came to my son's wedding.
Wow.
And I was so glad that he was there. and it's very emotional. So, and my mother actually, who passed away 28 years ago, she came to when they were signing the marriage license, and that was really beautiful to see. So, we learn about this other world out there that our relatives who have passed on and friends and who are sometimes long gone are still there and are very tuned in.
Yeah, they are in a blissful place, you know. My father was
tuned into us, too.
Yeah, my father used to be such an angry man when he was alive, but when I saw him in the other realm, it was a totally different father.
Right. It's amazing. Now, also, let's talk about shared death experience, because you have that in the book, and that's new to a lot of people. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, you know, shared death experience is, again, a term like near-death experience coined by Dr. Raymond Moody. What he had this experience with his mother, and a lot of people, when they are in the presence of the dying person, and he talks about our first case was of a lady, and in my case, it was my dear friend. I was not exactly in his physical presence, you know, it was 2 miles apart. He was dying of cancer metastasis to his liver. I saw him in the evening, and he was unresponsive. So next, I came to my home. Next morning, I woke up with a bright light in my own bedroom, and the dimensions of the bedroom changed, you know, from rectangle, it became like elliptical. And there, my friend was there calling me. So in shared death experience, part of the person who is present and the who is dying goes with him or her to a certain extent. Then there is a line or a boundary or a something, and other person, the living person, does not go beyond that and comes back. So,
but in other words, we start the journey with them.
Yeah, but at a certain level, boundary, they don't go beyond that.
Right, exactly.
And here, when my friend was beckoning me to come, he was my best friend, you know, Naresh. I went with him, and a figure showed up, a third person in there, with a beard and beautiful blue eyes. And I did greet him in the Indian way, namaste, and touching feet. And telepathically, that person told me it was he was Jesus, and that my job was to spread Christ consciousness, not necessarily become a Christian, but Christ consciousness, you know, higher level of consciousness from the level of forgiveness and love for all sentient, all beings, all humans. And it's not just here, humans, actually, all beings. You know?
Right, sure. That's wonderful. You know, it's a powerful path that you're on, and that we can all be on. We're not all as driven by having been out there, and having this direct, you know, direct communication with the being of light, for instance, and our relatives who have passed on. That's amazing. And so this is an opportunity that you are taking advantage of to spread the word. And I think it's really inspiring. Your book is very inspiring, Dying to Wake Up.
And my book website is very easy, too, or my website is very easy, too, dyingtowakeup.com.
Oh, good. Yeah. And I mean, it's important to for people to really start climbing into this and learning from your experiences and your teaching, and also just to learn more about the possibilities of who we are, who we truly are, and who we truly can be, and live that much more directly to and you teach that. You're really teaching people to live more responsibly.
Yeah. That's something, moderation, you know. As you said, I said, you know, we are still living in this world. We have to pay the bills. We have to go from one place to another, you know. So live a moderate life in service. Like
right.
Somebody,
yeah,
I was at a Montreal conference recently, and somebody asked me a very good question, stuck with me. She asked me, how should I prepare for my death? And spontaneously, we were on a panel. The answer came to me, you prepare for your death by living this life fully in service of others.
That's wonderful. Right. And then
the service for, yeah.
Yeah, and then you're ready. If you've been of enough service in this lifetime, you've taken care of of being here.
Yeah.
And shared love and meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And that's wonderful. And so I'm so glad that we could talk, because it's, you know, it's so important for all of us to embrace this reality of who we truly are.
Yeah.
And you learned it dramatically. And so I want to thank you. We're actually coming to a close in the show. And I'm so glad that you could talk about your experiences, and your book is so honest and clear and really a valuable book to read for everybody.
Oh, thank you.
So I want to thank you. Yeah. So, all right, and people can go to dyingtowakeup.com, right?
Yeah. From there, they are linked to Amazon and Barnes & Noble and local bookstore, yeah.
That's wonderful. So, Dr. Rajiv Party, thank you so much for being a guest on Energy Stew. It's so great to talk with you.
Oh, it was my pleasure to be here.
Thank you. And this is Peter Roth, host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thank you so much for listening.